Jenny and Trey are back. In a freewheeling catch-up, we cover the range of issues and obstacles we've been preoccupied with since 2025. Jenny's life has gone fantastically next level. Such great news. She can't wait to share. And Trey, well, Trey's a walk-in. What's a walk-in, you ask? Come find out. There are an infinite number of ways to do this thing we call existence, and we continue to discover more of the variations. The world is pinballing, and so are we. Welcome to Light in the Fog. Cheers. Hello, meow, meow. Oh my gosh, we are still here. And isn't that an amazing meeting in September of 2025?
October.
I'm sorry, October. Oh my gosh, it's October 1st, isn't it?
Yeah, it's October already. Can you believe that?
No, because it's been fast, slow, and it's just been so out of control. I think that, you know, Jenny and I were just really interested in just being like, let's just let go for a while and let's let the energies work themselves out. I mean, I follow astrology, so I knew September was going to be kind of a wrap up, leap into a different kind of energy vibe. And here's hoping that October delivers what they promised it's supposed to.
Yeah, well, and I feel like coming back in October is just so fitting because it's like, in my opinion, one of the more spiritually accessible times of the year in terms of witchcraft. And so it just makes sense for us to get back into it, you know, maybe do some witchy episodes.
Yes.
But first, we of course got have to talk about why we were away in the first place. Where the heck did we go?
Are we even sure where we went? I mean, this is something that I think happens to a lot of people these days, where time passes and you're just not sure where it went. But we definitely were on spiritual missions, both of us. Big time spiritual missions. And I know, Jenny, like, I feel like you're like on the far side of about 9/10 of yours.
Oh my God, what a long 9/10 it's been. Because, like, I also feel like you just said, you don't know where you are in yours. Like, I feel like that's kind of the point, is it's like, you think you know where you are in your spiritual journey, and then some other stuff happens, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not where I thought I was. And then suddenly, you are where you think you are, and you're like, am I there? Like, really? Like, is it real? And it's like, let's just see how it plays out for a little bit, and then we'll make a determination about that.
I love it. See, now she gets to be kind of casual. Like, let's see how it plays out. Because like all these really, really wonderful things have come for Jenny. She worked really hard and she has achieved really wonderful things for herself. So first off, I just want to recognize that even in times of chaos, like you can still do right for yourself and still keep it moving, man. So well done.
Thank you. That means a lot. And I have a hard time taking that credit and accepting that, because it's like, I feel like a lot of this stuff was given to me, and like, I'm grateful, and I also have to recognize that I have worked hard to get here, and that this is the right time for these things to come to me, and so I'm just at that point in my life, but yeah, like, that transition to late 20s to, well, mid to late 20s, I guess, is where I'm actually at. Has been.
You keep trying
really
to be like,
fruitful.
I'm almost 30. It's like, you have three more
30, Jay. With how fast this year has gone, those 3 years are going to be so fast.
Well, try to be mindful and enjoy them. And yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, boomer.
I would never.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. Also, not a boomer. When are they going to start saying, okay, Xers don't care. You can call us anything you want because we're just going to look at you like, whatevs.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Whereas it's like, you know, you come to a boomer and you're like, you gave me all this trauma. And the boomer's like, no, I didn't. I didn't do that. This is how it was for me. And then you go to Gen X and you're like, you gave me all this trauma. And Gen X is like, all right, whatever. Like, sorry. You know, what do you want me to say?
Which I don't know if that's better. I mean, like the false apology and
there's no gaslighting with it, at least.
Yeah, that's more or less true. Yeah. But and folks who are new to our podcast, we really, really love talking about the generational differences. So Jenny, what do you identify as generation wise?
I'm an elder Gen Z. I'm an ultra Gen Z.
Right on. And if anybody couldn't figure it out by now, I am an Xer. Hardcore. It's the only team that I will own because Xers don't own. Like, we don't want to be on teams.
Yeah. So true. But yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, kind of cutting back to things. I feel like you and I are both at very transitional points in our life. You know, and I feel like the time away from the podcast really marked that for both of us. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and about, you know, what's been up for us. There may be some repeat information in previous episodes or later episodes. But yeah, and Trey requested that I start, so I can start.
Tell us everything.
So we started taking a hiatus from the podcast because obviously you had some stuff going on with the trip and everything else. And it coincided really well with when I was like getting the ball rolling on moving, because I found out my ex-roommate was going to be moving in with their boyfriend. And so I had to start looking for a place to live. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, so I was just going through that in the beginning, and then I eventually found a place, which fit well for me. Do I want to spend like 10 minutes talking about the hunting? I guess I can. Yeah, it was like
our
podcast. Yeah, it's been so long. I forgot the rules. I found out I had to move, and then I didn't really get the ball rolling until about 2 months before. And I was looking for places on Zillow for a while. And the place that I ended, like, you know, I toured a bunch of different places that were within my price range. And the place that
definitely on the lower end, and it's, you know, it's Colorado, and Colorado's expensive.
Well, and there was like an area that I really wanted to live in, which is in Denver, close to some of my friends. And the reality is if you're living in Denver at your price range, you're sacrificing some things. And I decided that those weren't things that I was willing to sacrifice for my sanity, such as like an in-unit washer and dryer, space, a balcony, to name a few things. And the place that we ended up going with, but my grandma was also helping me apartment hunt, was a place that we just found willy-nilly, where we had toured apartment that was, I thought for sure was going to be the one that was the top of my list. And they raised their price by $200 during the tour. And so we were just like, oh, well, this isn't in the price range anymore. And then we were just calling around to see how else we could fill the afternoon, because I left work early to go to our apartments. And we came upon this place, had decent reviews. So we called, they answered, they let us tour. It was a decent space for a decent price. It was a little farther from work than I was before, but it's in an area that I really like. They had an indoor pool that was promised to be, yeah, except it hasn't been freaking open. So that's been a drag. Closed indoor pool, one of the features. And it's been good. And I'm living alone. It's like 760 square feet, one bedroom apartment, in unit washer and dryer. And the moving process.
These are all really, really big milestones. I mean, these are adult things. You know, I remember the first time I got to have a washer and dryer in my apartment, because I've always lived in big urban places where I was never going to be able to afford a house. And yeah, the first time I had a washer and dryer in my unit, luxury.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice. Oh my gosh. What was the other thing I was going to say? It's just good. It's a good place and it's nice. It's not too bad of a commute from work. I enjoy it. It does feel more adult, you know?
Yeah. I want to go back on a couple of things. So part of the struggle of this summer was trying to, for you, if I remember correctly, it was trying to like connect back with intuition and not having like a lot of the doubts and the worries that, you know, like all of the kind of bad energy in the last place. It can be, I guess what I'm trying to say, you guys, is like, it can be really, really hard to move forward when you're in the morass, man. And you were in the morass.
Yeah, I was definitely stuck. And there was a point where when I was beginning to look for places, or a little bit before that, where I knew the move was impending, that I realized I was stuck. And I was like, I just have to wait for the move to happen. Like, I can't, I'm stuck in this energy. It's not good energy. There's a lot of grief hanging there. There's a lot of blockages. And I just had to wait for the move. And I knew that. And I stopped doing magic. You know, I stopped doing all the things that I needed to do. And, you know, kind of coincided with the podcast period. Because, like, it's been almost, like, what, 2 months since we recorded? So like,
I don't,
yeah,
time, I don't know,
time,
probably
who
longer,
knows,
shorter.
But yeah, so things worked out how they were supposed to. The moving process was pretty good. I got an entire month to move my place. It was definitely the most stress-free moving process I've ever had. Granted, that was definitely because of the help of other people. But I just really came into a lot of gifts with this place. And a lot of potential, which I will unpack a little bit of, but like, I feel like we're going to unpack it more in future episodes, you know, especially as we talk about returning to magic and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. And I also remember that at some point you were getting really discouraged on finding a place. And I remember distinctly at some point, because of course she and I were still talking during all this time. I mean, we're friends.
Yeah.
The reason we do the podcast is like, well. And there are conversations that you all aren't privy to. And I do remember at one point you were just ready to give up. You were like, just like, this place is fine. This place is fine. And I remember saying like, there's one more out there. There's just one more out there. Keep the door open. And I think that's, and then it coincided with you and your grandma making that last loop, you know? So good job.
Thank you. Yeah. And the place that you're talking about that I almost ended up with was about the same square footage, but it was on the first floor and there was no balcony.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So, and I really like having a balcony.
Sorry.
Yeah, no first floor, even though it's easier for moving. No first floor. I agree.
Nope, not worth it. Pay the extra money.
Because then
they got elevators.
Because then I can like leave my patio door screen open overnight because I'm on the fourth floor. Like, nobody's going to break in that way. Sure. Like, you know, that would have to be so much effort. For so little reward.
Yeah, sorry, as females, we don't do first floors. I don't do first floors at hotels, you guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think they were also much less safe than they are now. Like, they actually got like real locks and they have like, you know, locks on the doors to get into the hotel. Whereas before it was just like everybody was coming and going. That paranoia runs deep, man. I was noticing that I still lock the chain lock on my door. And you guys, I live in Kansas. Like, what? Like the squirrels are coming? Like, who is coming for me? But it's been like a lifelong habit to always assume that I have to keep up boundaries. Now, it's not a bad thing as a psychic to make sure that you're doing your energy hygiene. But do you feel safe there? Do you feel like you did clearings and you set up what you wanted for your protection stuff?
Yeah, I think there's probably more clearings to be done, but I did what I needed to do. It feels like a safe place to practice magic. And I've been practicing magic a lot more because of it. Also with how I set up my altar and where they are, that I've been practicing a lot more magic.
Did it call
and
to
yeah.
you? Set me
it
up
did.
Here.
Well, it was more about where the heck am I going to be able to fit this? And I was really trying to fit it in my room, and then it just didn't work out that way. And so I just put it in the best spot in the living room. And because it's in the living room, I use it a lot more because I'm looking at it a lot more. And it looked really pretty in the living room too. So it worked out how it was supposed to, just like all things do. So, yeah.
Man, don't say that because I'm still waiting.
It will work out, Trey. You have to have faith. I'm also like...
I'm still in pouting mode.
I've also been off my meds for 2 months, and I'm manic right now, so this is just the part of the flow.
A And I love that you called that out, because there are times where, you know, our energy is really high, where it's like, we got this. What's the problem? What's the big deal?
We're doing great.
Yeah. I'm going to start 7 new projects. And then 2 weeks later, can't get off the couch and be like, what the hell am I going to do with these things? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So marvelous new apartment. And
yeah.
Shifting around in your world. You said you got back to magic. That's huge.
I did get back to magic, and it's like pretty intense magic. Like, I'm really wanting to do hardcore spells. I started smoking weed again, which I am allowed to say.
What's your backstory on that?
Yeah, so actually it was the last episode we recorded, I believe, was the weed one. No, the last one we recorded was the walk-ins, I think. I don't know. But we recorded an episode about weed, which is yet to be released, I think. And as we were talking about it, it was just like dawning on me, where I was like, you know, I've been sober from weed for 9 months, and they haven't been a very happy 9 months. And I had started smoking nicotine to like stave off the weed. And like, there was clear downsides to smoking weed, but there were also very clear upsides. And the downsides seem like they might be more manageable, and the upsides would really help out a lot. And I'm still riding that path where it's like, the downsides are tough, but if I'm smart about it, I can manage it, and I'm still working on that. But it has given me a lot back. And I feel a lot better and happier smoking weed. So yeah, that's been a big change too. And that's part of the reason I've been doing magic again, is because like, my tolerance is so low.
Because you're high.
That, like,
sorry.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's because it's literally, my tolerance is so low that like, I can't process anything mentally. Like, I can't watch TV when I get too stoned. And it's so easy to accidentally get too stoned that I'm like, well, my two options are cleaning or doing magic, because those are the two things that I know I can productively do, like, baked out of my mind. And so then, yeah, that's what I end up doing.
And, you know, with weed, for lots of folks, and I think you're one of them, so, you know, it's medicine, but it's also, you know, it thins the veil. It gives us access to different parts of our brain working. I mean, you went through all of this in that episode and did a really great job of explaining it, but I can see how magic would be even more sort of accessible and tangible to you if you're high.
Yes, absolutely. And more, way more potent as well, in my opinion. Because, like, you don't necessarily need to remember the spell happening, you know, and weed messes with your memory a little bit. You just need to know that the spell worked. So, yeah, definitely more potent.
What's the intention?
And then the final new thing is today, I think I'm allowed to say this, today I had a meeting with a supervisor to transfer positions at my job. So I'll be working with older kids. And it'll be more about school readiness and stuff like that. The job will be closer to me. And the way this all came about actually was when I first started at this job, when I was being trained, my trainer told me about the academy. Or, sorry, I guess I should just call it academy. I'm going to call it academy. So, like, we do early intervention, and then there's academy. And academy is the older kids who are ready for school, who are a little more verbal. And so my trainer told me about Academy and said that they're opening up two in Colorado. And so my first week there, Academy was the goal. Cause I was like, oh, I think I'm going to enjoy that a lot more, because I already knew going into this job that it wasn't necessarily fully going to be for me. I was actually nervous about it because of that, cause I needed a job. I needed a job in mental health. This one came through. It was clear that I needed to take it. And I also knew that it was going to be tough, and it was going to be an adjustment, and that this isn't the job I pictured myself being at. And then when I heard about Academy, I was like, oh, that seems a lot more my speed. That seems a lot more in tune with what I want to do. And so it was just about playing the waiting game until they opened Academy. And I knew it was going to be about a year. And it's a year later, and here we are.
And here we are. You know, and I think this might be one of those condescending older things, but sometimes we think like spending a year in a job that we're not really completely thrilled about is just this massive waste of time. But, you know, and this is the crap. This is both the cool thing about getting older, but it's also the crappy thing about living through it, is this job is going to end up being the one that you're doing now at the youngies, the youngers. is the one that's going to set up everything that happens. And if you hadn't done this job, then the chances are of you having the same pathway, it wouldn't have happened for you. So sometimes, I don't know, doing a year of, you know, toting wood and baling hay, what is that phrase?
I don't know.
It's just what you do because it's going to lead. The hope is always that it's going to lead.
Yeah, and I kind of knew that as well. And this is I knew this was a good entry gig, and that this was going to give me a lot of skills that were going to be valuable for me. It was very much the same when I started my kitchen job, where I was like, this isn't necessarily what I want to be doing, but it's going to help and it's going to be the right thing for right now. And I'm just proud of myself for making it a whole year, because there's definitely a lot of moments where I didn't think I was going to.
Yeah, there was a few moments where it's just like, well, something else had better turn up because I hit my year and I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough working with kids when you have childhood trauma. And I don't think people talk about that enough. But yeah, it happened and I'm here. And I've grown a lot because of it. I also gained a lot of weight. And so that's the other thing that's changing, is I'm starting to just make more positive steps in my life. And I can feel that the tides have shifted, that the chapter has changed. You know, I had a lot of tarot readings that were very explicit about that fact, and that this is my opportunity. Like, you know, this is the moment to zone in and strike, you know, and I haven't really had an opportunity like this before. It's very clear to my guides and myself that things have just been set up well for me, and that if I don't take advantage of this, I literally had one of my oracle cards tell me that, like, if I don't take advantage of what's going on right now, and if I don't step up to the plate, then I have to own the responsibility of that, because it will be my fault. And I was like, yeah, that's valid. That's fair.
Nice. You know, and it's not that your life would, you know, suddenly be horrible, but it just would be that much longer before you got back on the road to yeah. what you were supposed to be doing. I mean, I kind of feel like that, you know, we can freak people out about that, you know, like, oh, you missed your window, and they suddenly think that they've blown everything in this life. No, you just have this other side adventure, side quest, if you will. And you know, you'll get back to it, but it's just going to take longer. And I feel like for your generation, it's honestly like if Gen X did nothing but slog side quests, your guys' job is just like find the road, stay on the road. Just get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's what a lot of the younger, oh God, I can't believe the younger generation has a hard time saying, understanding. It's because like I know somebody who is really struggling right now because he just refuses to build his resume, and like he doesn't want to work jobs that he sees as beneath him. And it's like, that's the whole point. Like, you got to just build your resume, you got to build your path, you got to do the capitalism for a while and suck it up, you know. And it's a lot worse than it ever has been before in a lot of ways, but you still just got to suck it up, unfortunately, because what else are you gonna do, you know? Like, you have nothing else.
So this makes me think of this. I can't remember, Hikikomori students. So in Japan, I'm getting it wrong. I should look it up. Get it right, Trey. They have notoriously a whole generation of people who are now in their 30s who just quit society, who just simply decided they had too much anxiety. And they you know, they started actually unpacking like what was going on there. And you know, agoraphobia, like where in the world did this come from? But it is ravaged Japan. And I remember the first time I came across it was World War Z, Max Brooks's book. And the only person to survive the zombie apocalypse in Japan was one of these recluses whose mom would bring the food and leave it outside the door. And otherwise, all they did was play video games. And if they did work, it was digitally from their room. And I do need to look up the name. So here's the wild thing. So we have a whole bunch of folks who are not dating, certainly not having kids, not marrying, but they're also checking out of the economy. So Japan's in some trouble, you guys. And then now they have school absent kids. I can't remember quite the phrase that they use, but it's now a bunch of like little kids. So we're talking like 14 under, who are simply refusing to go to school because it causes them such horrendous social anxiety that they can't learn. Like they can't be present. They're freaking miserable. And their parents are like, well, I guess you got to stay home now. And they're finally starting to, sorry, this is such a tangent, squirrel.
This is good though.
But it kind of pertains to what, you know, what we're looking at is, you know, if you allow yourself to not allow yourself, I don't know what that means when you have mental illness. I don't feel like these 7-year-olds are allowing themselves to not go to school. It's just, they literally can't function. But yeah, so to look at young people and be like, well, you know, you have to play by these rules. You have to do these things. And the answer is, well, no, but these kids all have the next generation who are taking care of them. So like if your friend doesn't have somebody to look out for them, I don't know what he does.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is it's like, because I suffer from a lot of that social anxiety too. And it was really just trial by fire. You know, and like, it's very similar to the stories of trauma where it's like you go through trauma and you think everybody else has to go through trauma. But like, I remember my first kitchen job absolutely, you know, it destroyed me. Like, it absolutely ruined me in a lot of ways. It broke me because of how anxious I was and because of how unsure of myself I was and because of how much work it was and how much pushing and running and, you know, cooking it was. And like it sucked and I cried a lot, you know, and I faced a lot of that at this job too, in a lot of ways. And, you know, you go through it and you think, well, shoot, I went through it. This must be a rite of passage. Like this must be what we have to do. And in a lot of ways, it is what we have to do because what's the alternative? And also it's unfortunate and it's not our fault that that's what we have to do, you know, and it's not something you hold against somebody for being unwilling to do. Even though I just was, but like, you know.
So in my family, we call it holding out for management. So we had a rash of friends who had married men who found themselves unemployed for various number of reasons. And it's like, you got to go back to work, man. Like that's not a choice. And they'd be like, yeah, that job's below me. So behind their backs, we would be like, yeah, they're holding out for management. And then we'd buy.
Yeah.
If you're starving to death, you will take whatever job is available. But you're right. You shouldn't have to know the feeling of starving to death. You know, this is what's so messed up about our society. I did find what it's called. It's called the Hikikomori recluses are the adults and the hikikomori students. So if anybody finds that compelling, I like to check in on other countries just to see where they're at. Cause it kind of opens my mind and be like, yeah, we have these problems, but dang, they got 7-year-olds who won't leave the house. We have kids who refuse to learn how to drive, but they have an entire generation who's refusing to get educated. What is happening in this world?
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, that also speaks to like why you should watch foreign films and check in with your friends. Like just knowing about the world that's happening outside of yourself helps you to ground yourself a little bit more. Where you're just like, okay, I'm rooted in these problems. Other people are rooted in their own problems. Like, it's okay. We all have, you know, shit to figure out. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. And we may very well at some point do an episode about being anti-capitalists.
We definitely need to.
It's a thing. When you are a deeply spiritual person and you can kind of understand what else is going on and you're really rooted to all of that, it's really, really, it's got it. I mean, it almost makes me emotional. It's really, really hard to stuff yourself into some people call it the 3D life. You know, I call it the meat suit, where you're just like, but none of this is of any value ultimately in the grand scheme of things. Like me getting a job at Home Depot, you know, how like how is that giving me a lesson or giving me an opportunity to do what I'm here to do? And I feel like capitalism in some ways was built to break spiritual people, to keep us, you know, focused on dumb, stupid things instead of doing, you know, the things that we can do and the things that we know we can do.
Yeah, it was built to keep the people in power and keep everybody else at bay. And so, yeah, and we'll talk about that. We'll definitely do an anti-capitalism episode. It'll be our most need because everybody hate views it.
Everybody what?
Hate views it. Like, hate watches it.
And it doesn't mean we're for any other system except barter. Barter is the only thing that's ever made sense in my head. and I was listening to it. So Jenny has got me listening to
Duncan Trussell.
Duncan Trussell's Family Hour. And let me tell you, you guys, he is doing some top fringe investigations into all kinds of freaky deaky stuff. And he really cherishes the opportunity to talk to people who are like, yeah, capitalism is super, super broken. We can't, like, we should not make it a goal to keep this alive. We need, like, there has been other functional financial situations. And I think that the only thing that makes, frankly, I'm with your friend. The only thing that makes capitalism any kind of worth it is if you're doing work that feels important to you. Like, you feel like you're actually making an impact, that you're learning stuff, that you're not going home so traumatized that you're drinking or, you know, hitting the bong or doing whatever it is that you do. Like, you're not abusing yourself so that you can endure another day, which was entirely Gen X's experience, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree with that. Not really know that I have more to say on that.
Our parents, we drank because of capitalism.
And your parents.
and when I ran out of that excuse, I kicked it over to John and Barbara.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know how we tangented on this, but yes. Cheers, meow meow.
Cheers, meow meow.
Stay tuned for part two of this Light in the Fog episode when Trey shares all her multidimensional work and making a radical leap forward in her higher self journey. Don't forget to like, subscribe, or visit us on our Patreon.